Because when you come into Christ, you have succeeded. Car, no car, if any man be in Christ, the man is a new creation. All things are passed away. This man begins to walk in a realm called new life. Am I talking to somebody? This new life is called the Zoe. The Zoe. The eternal Zoe. Zoe means life beyond ordinary. Life beyond ordinary. It is called eternal Zoe. Eternal Zoe. Eternal life. Life beyond the ordinary. Life without limit. Life without restriction. And life that cannot be explained. Cannot be explained. Everything negative has happened to the man, but the man is still rising. Nobody can explain it. No science can explain it. And no professor of economics can explain why this man is still floating in spite of what he has gone through. It is called Zoe, the eternal Zoe of God. I am come that you may have life, Zoe, and that you may have it to the full till it overflows. Overflowing to where it stops. The flood from overflowing. The scriptures bring us to a place of wisdom in the issues of salvation. She shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? He shall save his people from their sins. He's the savior. You are not the savior. There is nothing you can do to save you. Fast if you like. Pray if you like. Stay away from food if you like. You cannot save yourself. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can save. So he shall save. He shall save. The mission of Jesus is to save. If you're hearing me shout, I hear you. He shall save his people. What shall he save them from? From their sin. Sin. The problem of man is not lack of money. The problem of man is not witches and wizards. The problem of man is sin. Jesus didn't come to give you a car. With all due respect, you don't need Jesus to have a car. If all you're looking for Jesus for is car, get out. You're in the wrong place. Because the people that gather in assembly of God are not gathered for car. They are gathered to experience salvation. Say, I hear you. The problem of man is sin. Sin. Because sin separates man from God. The power of Satan is a separation of man from God. Until man is separated from God, Satan has no power. Separation. The fall of Adam was separation. The day you eat it, you shall die. Death is separation. Disconnection, annihilation from the Zoe of God. Uprooted, disconnected, disjointed from the Zoe. So because you are disconnected, you wither. Because the source has been taken from you. Are you hearing me? The power of a man is reconciliation. Hey, reconciliation with God. Reconciliation. Put up for me Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The death of Christ was not for the righteous. It was for the ungodly. Why? Because the ungodly cannot help himself. All these people that go around preaching the law of Moses and all that, they don't know scripture. They don't have foundation. When you understand the foundation of life, you won't look for Moses. Because Moses was a type among the types. And I'll show you shortly what I mean. We were without strength. In due season, Christ died for the ungodly. Next verse. Put up the next verse for me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some will even dare to die. For a good man, some may die. Oh, for a good man. For a bad man, nobody will die. But for a good man, some may die. But you, as bad as you are, he died. The grace of God. Put up the next verse. The next verse. But God commended his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. He didn't die when you came to church. He died while you are yet a prostitute. He died while you are yet smoking cigarettes. He died for you while you are drunk with alcohol. So there is nothing you did to make him die. And there is nothing you can do to qualify. There is nothing you did to make him die. And there is nothing you can do to qualify. There was no prerequisite. There was no requirement. There was no condition. Because if there was any, you won't meet it. So when he discovered your bankruptcy, man is a bankrupt soul. Man is bankrupt, totally destitute, incapacitated, incapable, and unable. Man is totally emptied, has nothing to offer. When God saw your state, he said, I will offer it all. I will give it all. Because you don't have, even if I ask, you can't give anything. You have nothing to give that is good. So God commended his love towards us in that while we were in our incapacitated state, Christ, the gift of God, Christ, the love of God in action, died for the ungodly. That's grace. That's grace. Christ died for the ungodly. Are you with me here? Put up the next verse. You will love the next verse. Much more then, being now justified, not by confession. Being justified, not by fasting. Being justified, not by prayer. Being justified, not because you're a good person. The basis for justification is his blood. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Our salvation from wrath is through him. Because I have Jesus, there is no judgment waiting for me. I am free from judgment. Hey, I am free from wrath. Because the only judgment that will have waited for me, Christ took it. He was judged on my behalf. So having judged him, I cannot be judged. Because God is a God of justice. For God to judge me after judging Christ on my behalf will be double entry. It will be double jeopardy in law. And God is not a criminal. God is a righteous God. He does not play double. He does not play double face. He judged Christ on my behalf. So by the judgment of Christ, there is no judgment for me because I am in Christ. No judgment. I am saved from judgment. Are we teaching here? Put up the next verse. Hey, for if when we were enemies, if when we were enemies, Shadoga Bohosa. Look, you are the enemy of God. Instead of you coming to apologize, God came. That's why it is called the love of God that passeth understanding. It passeth understand. You can't understand it. You can't understand it. This over the top. Yeah, over the top. This is too good to be true. But it is true. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Somebody shout, I hear you. If while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled. That's the power. Reconciliation. Because the power of Satan is separation. The power of God is reconciliation. As many as receive him, to them give the power. Reconciliation. We are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more. Much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his Zoe. Somebody shout, I am saved. Somebody shout, I'm reconciled. Say it again, I'm reconciled. Say, I am saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Tabola toboga. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold. Somebody say, behold. Lequire. Behold. See. See. If you cannot behold, you cannot enjoy it. New creation realities are understood by beholding. Behold. He's a new creation. All things are past. Behold. Behold, oh. See, oh. Everything is new. Behold. There is a beholding required. You've got to behold it. And where do we behold? We behold as in a mirror. We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And as we behold that glory, we are changed into that same image that we behold from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we all, with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror. Somebody shout, open face. With open face. With open face. We behold the glory as in a mirror. With open face. The problem with many is that they are with closed faces. But we with open faces, we behold the glory. Glory to God. Somebody shout, I hear you. So reconciliation is the power. You want to live above limits? Be reconciled. Put up the next verse. And all things are of God. All things. All things are of God. You, your wife, your children, your business, your career, all of you are of God. All things are of God. Nothing is for Satan. Even if you dream and you eat, it's of God. If you dream and you fly, it's of God. All things. You and everything inside you are all of God. If you dream and you marry in the dream, it's of God. If you dream and deliver children in the dream, it's of God. All things. How many things? What are you talking about? All things are of God. How many things? In this new creation, man, all things are of God. Don't let anybody tell you, if you fly in the dream, you are possessed. It's a lie. You and the dream are of God. Why shouldn't you fly? Why shouldn't you fly? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall what? When you mount a dream, what do you do? From today, fly higher. Fly higher. Fly higher. That prepares a table before me where? When the table is there, what do? You eat in the spirit and you eat in the physical. Because you are blessed with spiritual. Somebody shout, I receive, I receive. All things are of God. All things are of God. Somebody shout, I am born of God. Say it with anger, I am born of God. I am born of the Word. I do the Word. If the Word says, all things are of God, I do the Word. All things are of God. I didn't hear your amen. All things are of God. Put it up for me. Who hath? That's the power there. That's the power there. That's the power there. The power there is reconciled. Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And because we are now reconciled, hath given to us the ministry of what? That's where the power. The power is in reconciliation. Once you and God are reconciled, Satan is buried. Once you and God are reconciled, Satan, sickness, poverty, they are all buried. Am I teaching here? That's your power. Somebody said, but things are still rough. It's because you don't know. You didn't know. The thing that gave Satan power was separation. The thing that empowers the believer is reconciliation. Let me tell you something. I'll go back to Timothy very shortly. Do you know that when Jesus died and went in the underworld, Jesus was not in the grave. No. He was not in the grave. If he was in the grave, that means he didn't pay the price. When Jesus said, it is finished, nothing finished at that time. Nothing finished at that time. That was just the beginning of the journey. Because it did not finish on the cross. Yeah, it didn't finish on the cross. Because the sin of man was not cross, it was hell. So he was still on the cross, it has not finished. When he died and he was buried, it has not finished. It was when he went to hell. It was when he went to hell. Now, listen carefully. When he went to hell, there was no fight in hell. Jesus didn't fight anybody. Because Satan is not in hell. Satan is not in hell. No. He has not yet gone to hell. If he's in hell, he can't be here now. The reason why he's going about like a roaring lion is because he has not yet gone to hell. See, so when Jesus went to hell, he didn't go to meet Satan. Satan is not in hell. Satan is still roaming around like a roaring lion seeking for whom to devour. Why is he not in hell? Because Satan has a lease to operate here. What lease? The lease that Adam gave Satan. Adam took the lease that God gave him to operate this planet and gave Satan. So Satan now is running on Adam's lease. That is why when they came to cast out demons, the demons will say, "Jesus, we know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come to cast us out before our time?" They know that there is a lease and there is a time. They know that their time is still running. So when Jesus went to hell, he didn't go to meet Satan. That was not his primary assignment. But preachers who don't know the scripture will tell you Jesus, when he met Satan, he told Satan, "Move." Satan said, "I will not move." "Oh yeah, take it." There was no such thing. Jesus and Satan never had a fight. There's no such thing. The fall of man was separation. What man needed was reconciliation. The death of Jesus was to bring reconciliation, not to fight Satan. Who dashed Satan? When Jesus entered hell, he didn't meet Satan there. He went to hell to pay price for man. The price was the going to hell. That's why when David was prophesying, he said, "Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell," because he was abandoned in hell. How do you know he was abandoned? My God, why has that, the word forsaken means abandoned. Why hast thou abandoned me? He was abandoned in hell because that's where you were going. So since your judgment was put on him, he had to complete the course of that judgment, which included hell. So since he now went to hell for me, I can't go to hell. Me and hell, we have nothing in common. I don't know if I'm teaching here. Put up that Corinthians, because you need to see it clearly. "And had given to us the ministry of reconciliation," next verse, "to wit, that God was in Christ," doing what? "Reconciling the world unto himself." And what was the next thing? "Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And has committed to us." So what is our message? To reconcile people. That's where the power is. The power is in reconciling people. Yes, we were enemies. The death of Christ reconciled us. That reconciliation is the power of sonship. That reconciliation is where the power to be a son, adoption, sonship, placement, occupying the same territory with Christ at the right hand of Father, which is the place of authority. It's not a process. It was instant. The moment you got born again, all this happened. It's not a process. You don't have to grow to cast out demons. You cast out demons from the day you got born again. Demons are not a thing to waste time on. You cast them out like you cast out. And you don't need a formula for casting. There's no formula. Out is out. Out. Am I teaching here? You don't need a formula. In my name you shall cast out devil. So in the name of Jesus, out. Case closed. No drama. No, how many of you are there? Oh yeah, come on. Tell us. Satan is a liar. If you ask him a question, he will lie to you. And you must be stupid to still be asking. So Satan knows that you don't know what you're doing. Because if you know what you're doing, you don't ask demons questions. You instruct them, "Pack your load just close. And if the person is still doing hey, you leave him, because when you cut off the neck of a chicken, the chicken will still move. But after some time, it will cool down. Should get size. I'm teaching here. If you're hearing me shout, I hear you. Somebody shout, I am reconciled to God. Therefore, I reign in life. I didn't hear your amen. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus. What do we see? But we see Jesus. Who do you see? That's right. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of what? Death. That is for the suffering. Because the fall of man made him lower than the angels. So for Jesus to restore man, he came lower than the angels. Took my place. He occupied my state for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for how many people? So Jesus has tasted death for you. He has tasted death for who? Say for me. So now that scripture is no more applicable. For as it is appointed unto men. How many times? And Jesus tested it how many times? So that appointment has been kept. So no more death for you. You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. No more death. Because Jesus tasted death for every man. So he kept that one appointment. That is why when you come into Christ, you pass from death. Because no more death. There's a way of God. You live in life. And the life is light. And the light shines. And the darkness cannot handle it. Shout, I hear you. Alright, put it back. For the suffering of the crown with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Next verse. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation. The captain of what? Salvation. The captain of what? So the major work of the scriptures, the major work of ministry is salvation. It's not 10 steps to success. That is not the message of the pulpit. The message of the pulpit is salvation. Jesus is the captain of salvation. It's not the captain of how to make it fast. It's not the captain of who stole my wedding gown. It's not the captain of give me a spouse or I die. It's not the captain of break that pot. I don't know which pot they are breaking. He's the captain of what? The captain of salvation. So what he offers to man is salvation. See, I hear. That's what he offers to man. I'm a preacher of the gospel. My work is to bring salvation to men. I'm not a motivational speaker. You don't motivate Holy Ghost people. Holy Ghost is motivation. Higa-ba-ba-ba. Which motivation is like that? But ye beloved, building up your most holy faith, rising higher and higher like an edifice, praying where? The mission of preaching is to bring people to where? Salvation. Because Jesus is the captain of salvation. Case closed. He came to save his people from their sin. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For the gospel. The whole gospel is the power of God unto what? Case closed. It's a message of salvation. It's a message of salvation. That's the hub of the gospel. That's the heart of our message. Yeah, to reconcile men to God. to bring people into the fullness of salvation, not willing that any soul should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And not just to come to repentance, but that all should come to the knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge, that's what we're doing now. We're bringing you to the knowledge of the Lord so you can mature. That's what we're doing here now. Yeah, we're not preaching just born again. We've gone beyond born again. We've gone into the deeper things of the spirit so you know what took place in your life when Christ came in. What we're teaching is not what will happen. What we're teaching is what has already happened. Helping you to uncover, acknowledging every good thing that is in you, which is where? In Christ. It's already there. It's already there. All that you will be is inside you. Our work here is to uncover it so you can see, because there is the need to see. To make all men see. That's the mission of apostles. That's what we came here for. To make you see what Christ has done on your inside. You are not a prayer point. You are an answered prayer. You are not a liability. You are an asset. You are not a minus. You are a plus. You are not a disadvantage. You are over advantage. You are not conquered. You are more than a conqueror. You are not a victim. You are a victor. You are not under. You are on top. Somebody shout, I hear. To make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. Look at the next verse. Oh, for both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call you brother. Your father may be ashamed because you don't have a car, but Jesus is not ashamed. Because Jesus knows that very soon you will not just have a car, you will be a car manufacturer. He's not ashamed of you. Somebody shout, Jesus is not ashamed of me. Say, it's not ashamed to call you brother. Every time he sees you, that's my brother there, man. That's my brother. I'm proud of my brother. Not ashamed to call you brother. Because the same sanctification that Jesus has is the same you have. He is not holier than you. You and Jesus are equally holy. You and Jesus are equally holy. All of you are in the same state of holiness. Somebody say, how do you mean? That is why he lives inside you. If you were not as holy as him, you will not be qualified to contain him. But because you are as holy as him, that's why he is comfortable living inside you. He said, I will live in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They will be my sons and my daughters. So he lives in you. He walks in you. I was studying one of those days. No, I was actually in my dining table, getting ready to eat some food. Breakfast, actually. And the Holy Ghost said to me, son, I said, yes, Lord. Because I know when he talks to me. He said to me, the most holy one lives on your inside. I said, whoa, I've never thought of it that way. He said, that means you two are most holy. Because the most holy one can only live in the most holy. I'm teaching here. And somebody said to me, what do you mean? But he said, there is none holy as the Lord under the old covenant. And under the old covenant, all their sacrifices could not bring them to perfection. So every year they were killing animals every year and killing and killing. And the more they kill, the more sin consciousness. But this man, you know who this man is? This man, Jesus. This man. He entered in once and for all. Bam. He died and he has given to us eternal salvation. Eternal what? Eternal salvation. He has given us eternal inheritance. He has given unto us eternal redemption. He has, everything is eternal, eternal, eternal. Because the death was eternal death. And what do we mean by eternal death? The whole of eternity was compressed in 3 days. So when Jesus died and rose, 3 days was the compression of time before, time after, in one, in 3 days. And he came out. That is why to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, you can't exhaust it till you die. Because the whole of eternity is in the message of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The whole of eternity is in. The whole of eternity is in that message of his death. It is when you don't know the message of his death, burial, and resurrection that you tell the church, I want to preach on the spirit of Jezebel. That's not a message of the church. There is no Jezebel among us. We have Holy Ghost. What is Jezebel doing here? The spirit of Balaam. From where now? Whatsoever is born of God. Is there anybody here born of God? So the message of the church is the message of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And there is too much to preach there till eternity finishes. There's too much to preach there. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Put up the next verse for me before I enter another thing now. Next verse. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Next verse. Again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given to me. Verse 14. As much then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death, so look. Through death, he might destroy. Satan and Jesus didn't fight. The death of Christ was the disarming of Satan. Satan's disarmament was in his death. Through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, which is the devil. How? The death of Christ was the reconciliation of man, which was the disarming of the separation that Satan used in ruling man. That death was the restoration. Through his death, we shall be reconciled. The death was the reconciliation. And because the death was the reconciliation, the death was the destruction of the separation. Because the power of Satan was the separation. The death of Christ was the reconciliation that terminated the separation. And when the separation was knocked out, Satan has no power. It's not like Jesus and Satan fought. No, the death disarmed principalities and powers and made a public show of them triumphing over them. The death. So by death, he destroyed death. He destroyed death by death. He destroyed death by death. Yes, by separation. By separation from the Father. He destroyed separation and brought reconciliation. Are you hearing? My God, why hast thou? That was separation. In that separation, he destroyed separation. And after destroying separation, he was reconciled to the Father. By that reconciliation, anyone that comes to Christ is reconciled. That reconciliation is the dominion of the believer. That reconciliation. He then said, now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. As God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be reconciled. Because that's where the power is. The power is in reconciliation. Oh, that's where the power is. The New Testament believer does not need 10 steps to anointing. Reconciliation to Christ is 55 steps to anointing. What is 10? Ten steps to anointing. Number one, 3 days fasting. Number two, 50 chapters of the Bible. Number three, close your eyes. Number four, kneel down on the ground and don't stand up for 3 days. We're talking about 10 steps to anointing. What is step? I have door, you're showing me step. What am I doing with step? The door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. I am the way. Jesus said, I am. And you're looking for steps? Steps to where? He said, I have set before you an open door. He has set and opened, and you're looking for steps to do what? The door is set. It's open. And no man can shut the door. Shatala Baha. The first 1,000 of you that will shout amen, your door is open. Enter the door. Enter the door. Enter the door. The door of prominence. The door of relevance. The door of impact. The door of impact. The door of success. The door of breakthrough. Your finances like never before. If your amen is louder, the backbone of delay is broken. The backbone of lack is broken. The backbone of darkness is broken. The devil's souls are broken. I prophesy over you from this night. Reign in life. Take charge. Dominate your world. represent Jesus, manifest the glory of the latter house. If your amen is louder, be blessed. Sit down, cross your legs, shout, I am in charge. If I'm teaching, somebody shout, I hear. Are you understanding? These are fundamentals. I'm still laying a lot of foundations. Because once you get it right at the foundation, every other thing will be right. When you begin to hear teachings that are not Bible, you will know. Even if they quote Bible, because you see, when a preacher does not understand the Bible, he will make the Bible say what the Bible is not saying. There are many preachers that are making the Bible say what the Bible is not saying, and it's very easy. I can show you. Can I show you? Judas hung himself. That's one verse. He takes it out. He looks for another one. Do thou likewise. He remove it. He looks for another one. What thou doest, do quickly. So now he has a message. Judas killed himself. Do thou likewise. What thou doest, do quickly. That's not what the Bible said, but now you have made the Bible say what the Bible is not saying from the Bible. It is called preaching out of context. The word of God must be communicated contextually, because it was written contextually. Tell your neighbor, I'm not making it. I made it. Somebody say, what do you mean? He says, you are come to Mount Zion. He didn't say you are coming. You are come. Arrival. Arrival. You are come to the city of the living God. You are come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You are come to the blood of sprinkling. You are come to an innumerable company of angels. But I like this one. I like this one best. You are come to Jesus. You are come to Jesus. Yes, you are come to Jesus. You are not coming, you are come. You are come to Zion. Where is Zion? The city whose maker and builder was God that Abraham looked for and never arrived. You are come there. Abraham kept looking for that city. Even when he came to Canaan, he was still looking for, because that city was not Canaan. He was looking, he knew there was a place, but he couldn't find it. It was Zion he was looking for. But you are come to Zion. And in Mount Zion, there is deliverance, there is holiness, and the sons of Jacob possess their possessions. Hey, I prophesy. Hey, whatever redemption has provided that is not in your hand, take it now. Manifest it now. Walk in the fullness of it now. Lift your hands and shout, I am redeemed by the blood. I am reconciled by the blood. I am justified by the blood. I am glorified by the blood. I shine in my generation. I didn't hear your amen like thunder. Sit down, cross your legs, shout, I'm in charge. We are come, we are come. Touch your neighbor, say, we are come, we are come. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Jesus reconciled us. Hey. And by that reconciliation, Satan lost his influence. Totally. That's why you don't deliver believers. No. Wait, you don't. What is deliverance? What is the meaning of deliverance? Colossians 1:13. Put it. Listen, we define scripture by scripture. Colossians 1:13. Everybody read together with me like a mass choir. One, two, go. Who had delivered us? Wait. Delivered, is it a future tense or a past tense? So you don't deliver people that are delivered. Read it again. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us where? Where are we? Don't stop kingdom. Kingdom of who? Correct. That's where you are. So what is deliverance? Deliverance is a movement from one kingdom to another. Once you have moved to another kingdom, you are delivered. You don't need another deliverance. No, because it's a movement. Look at it. Who hath delivered us from this to this? Born again is deliverance. That's deliverance. Born again is a deliverance. That is deliverance. Born again. Can a Christian be possessed? No. No. Possessed from where? Possessed from where? Possession means a demon took total control of a man. But when a man is born again, he said, your body is the temple. So the Holy Ghost lives in your body. Out of your belly shall flow. So the Holy Ghost lives in your belly. So where will Satan occupy? You are joined, bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh. You and the Lord are one spirit, members of his body. Uh-uh. But listen to me, when people do not understand the gospel, they preach what sounds correct, and the measuring stick is experience. They look at your experience, then they look for branded scriptures that help you to stay in that condition. Are you here with me? If you're here, say, I'm here. Somebody shout fire. Let me give you another one. Philippians 1:6. Let me give you another one. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He was talking about salvation. This in his salvation. It's not that now that you started a contract and government has stopped the contract, being confident of this very thing, that God has started this contract, he will finish it. Shut up. You're too materialistic. That scripture is not for contract. It's for salvation. What he's saying here is that since Jesus has saved you, he will save you to the end. The accompanying verse to this is John 10:28. Put it up for me. John 10:28. Put it up for me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Hey, verse 29. Hey, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. This is eternal security. This is eternal security. Jesus is saying, once you enter my hand, nobody can collect you. Nobody. That's why Jesus said, all that the Father gave me, none is lost. None. What Jesus is saying is, I am able to save you to the uttermost. Eternal security. Somebody asked me somewhere, do you preach eternal security? I say, yes, yes, yes. If God cannot secure me, I don't need him. Why will I serve a God that cannot secure me? What do I need him for? If I have to protect myself, why do I need God? The reason why I need God is because he's the one that can keep me. Hey, I'm teaching here. Jesus said, hey, nobody can take you. Once you enter my hand, bam, nobody. He said, because you are in my hand. And in case you are trying to overpower me, my Father that gave you to me is greater than all. And nobody can remove you. So no backsliding. Why? We are not of they that go back. We are of they that press forward to the saving of the souls. No backsliding. The path of the righteous is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter unto the perfect. Who am I talking to in this church? You are blessed and blessed and blessed. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Ah. God says you are blessed. You are blessed. God says it is done. It is done. Let all men be liars. And let God alone be true. Somebody say, I hear. Please sit down. Let's talk a little more. Sit. Let me empty this thing. Ah. If God be for us. Throw your legs, shout fire, yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you with me? Somebody say, I hear. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your right hand and shout, I am reconciled by the death of Jesus. I believe the gospel. Satan is defeated. I'm here to reign. I didn't hear your amen. Listen, these are the scriptures we know that make us make noise. These are the scriptures. See, the anointing that you have received abides in you. It's called residential anointing. What is it called? It's living inside you. That anointing does not travel. It abides in you. It's abiding in you. When you sleep, it is there. When you wake up, it's there. Even when you eat and you're oversatisfied, the anointing is there. With belting a bar, you can test it and get out. You will get out. That's your two fool that you are belching and Satan cross. Hi, he will go. It's not a feeling, it's a knowing. No, it's not a feeling, it's a knowing. Let me close. Am I talking to somebody? Ephesians chapter 1, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Ephesians chapter 3, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Philippians 1, 9, 10, 11, 12. Colossians 1, 9, 10, 11, 12. Were the prayers of Paul for the church. And all of them were knowledge. Paul never prayed for you to have a car. He never prayed for you to have a wife. If you read the New Testament, you never find prayers of materials. Only prayers of knowledge. That you may know, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. Why? Why? Because all that you need has been supplied. It's just for you to discover. When you discover, it manifests. Just for you to know. Not for you to have, for you to know. There's nowhere Paul prayed for money. From Romans to Revelation, nowhere Paul prayed for money. Because money is natural. It will come naturally. When you know who you are in Christ, money will start coming. Someone said, when you preach grace, you can't have money. That is where the oil well is. Grace is where the oil well is. I'm the one telling you, I'm the preacher here telling you. Ah, that's where the oil is. When you start hearing grace, just start preparing. Money will come like a tsunami. You know tsunami? So in case you're going through a rough time right now, chill, chill. Chill. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. There's a song I sing in my church. I say to them, cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, God has never failed. So why not trust him and say, you will be sorry you worry at all tomorrow morning. You will be sorry you worry at all when tomorrow morning comes. Tomorrow morning. You will be sorry you worry at all tomorrow morning. Why? Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be careful. Don't worry yourself about anything. The landlord say he will throw you out tomorrow. Let tomorrow come. At least enjoy today. When tomorrow arrives, there will be solution. Who am I talking to here? Hear me. I speak to you by the Holy Ghost. You will never be stranded. In this life, you will reign. In the life to come, you will reign. In this life, you will shine. Ah. Anybody planning your embarrassment, embarrassment will turn to celebration. In the place of shame, you will have double honor. Where people left you, they will come back in their numbers. Ah,
Egebo shatana kotebo. Eleboyana te bedede de yamoho. Elebo jakatana.
I speak to somebody here. Whatever slowed you down in life is giving way now. Recover your speed. Recover your territory. Recover your relevance. Recover your impact. Recover your resources. Recover your connections. If you stand up and shout amen, receive the grace of recovery. Lift your two hands and begin to pray in tongues. Pray like a man in authority. Pray like a woman in dominion. Pray like a girl in charge. Bajato labaha. Pray, pray, pray. Jesus is in this house. Pray, pray, pray. The Holy Ghost. Pray. Mazote negebo shaka. Breya galabo shaka. Hola baba 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 baba. Mangala badosha. Ekere de baba 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 basa.
Thank you, my father.
Thank you, my father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your two hands, let your amens be coming like thunder. I declare, as your hands are lifted, they will never be empty. Wherever you are under the sound of my voice, whatever my father has not planted on your inside, I command it to be rooted out. I rebuke sickness and disease. I command high blood pressure cease. Blood disease die. I rebuke heart conditions. Tumors melt out. Tumors melt out. Fibroid melt out. Breast lumps melt out. Cancerous threats melt out. I rebuke migraine. I rebuke ear problems. Eye conditions. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. From your head to your legs, be made whole. I command your pocket restored. Your finances released. Your connections released. Open doors released. Whatever is yours that has been denied you, it is released double measure. Double portion. Double portion. Double portion. Double portion. Double portion. Every mistake you have made that has made the devil make caricature of you, by mercy, the mistake is canceled. That mistake is canceled. And where there was a mistake, grace is showing up. Grace is showing up. What you didn't qualify for is given to you. What you never deserve is given to you. What you deserve negatively is canceled. Judgment is canceled. Disgrace is canceled. Harassment is canceled. Sickness is canceled. You did some things that are waiting for you to harvest. The harvest is aborted. There is miscarriage. Spiritual abortion. Where the devil was planning to make caricature of you, heaven is celebrating you. If you are